you're listening to Principal Broadcasting, featuring the League of Professionals with Muriel Donnelly, weekdays 10 to 4 p.m. with current topics to elevate your career to the next level.
John Stevens here on Principal Broadcasting, and today my guest is Lance Stern, who is a licensed clinical social worker out of the Upper Saddle River, New Jersey area. And Lance, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Why don't you explain to us, first of all, what a licensed clinical social worker, what the job actually is?
Well, it falls under the umbrella of psychotherapy. I mean, psychotherapy is a pretty broad swath.
Right.
You could be a psychologist. You could be a clinical social worker, which is what I am. But it's for people who seek out psychological help for a myriad of reasons, anxiety, depression, feeling overwhelmed, lack of self-esteem. I also do work with couples, because couples therapy is very important with a lot of people who have mature relationships or even young relationships that are trying to find their way.
Right.
I do parenting work with parents who struggle sometimes with how to communicate with their children in the healthiest and most productive ways. It's really just a very private place for people to come and find themselves, find out how they can be better versions of themselves and ultimately a happier person, which I guess is everybody's goal, right?
Now, what's the demographic of your clientele? I mean, are you mostly seeing men, women? Do you see children?
I don't see children. I start with what is called the emerging adult.
So like the 17
kind of area. 15 to 25 is
gotcha.
Generally considered that, the emerging adult spectrum. I would say most of my patients are professionals, male and female, probably between mid-20s and 60s. But I do, as I said, I see 16-year-olds, 18-year-olds, and again, couples.
And what issues do you find most frequent in your practice?
Oh, it's hard to say. I hate to pathologize people if they come in because they're struggling. You can say they're depressed. You can say they
right.
have anxiety, and both of those would probably be accurate. I think people become overwhelmed. People lose track of what it was they wanted in their lives or don't feel they've been as successful as they had anticipated they would be. And sometimes they just need time and a forum to talk to somebody who's non-judgmental, who can listen closely to how they describe their lives and reframe their questions in a way that they can understand them themselves and understand themselves differently and hopefully find what it is that they've lost in themselves. Because ultimately, I really can't do the work.
Right.
The patient has to do the work. It's up to them to find what it is inside themselves that has made them either lose their way or not feel as good about themselves as ultimately they'd like to.
You're just like the tour guide, trying to help them through the journey.
Basically, yeah.
Right.
Like a Sherpa going up a mountain. Yep.
Yeah, I was looking for a beautiful analogy. That was a good one. Now, with your clients, when they come in, I mean, do you take a different approach for each individual client, or is it each individual issue that they're going through? What's your approach?
That's a very, very good question. Like anything else, there are many schools in the psychological or psychoanalytic approach. I'm more psychoanalytic, and psychoanalytic goes way back to Freud. It's kind of out of vogue today. They like to work a lot of clinics, and a lot of this has to do with managed care.
Right.
It has to be evidence-based, which means you have to prove that in 6 sessions or in 12 sessions you will accomplish this. I don't work that way. I don't believe that's effective. I think you're treating symptoms, not treating underlying conditions. As I'd like to say, it's like treating an infection with an aspirin because you get rid of the headaches and the fever. You think you've cured it, but there's something causing those headaches.
Right.
So you need the antibiotic to kill the infection. Just treating the symptoms is not necessarily effective. Although I do believe in giving people, if you will, aspirin to help them combat their symptoms, make the pain go away, but I like to work with the underlying issues. So my approach is basically the same for everybody in that my job is to listen, to really profoundly listen to what it is that they're saying.
Right.
Try to understand what's going on with them and help them find their own solution for it. So I don't take a different tact in the big picture. Absolutely, moment to moment, everybody's different. Every session's different. So every response is different. But my approach is to meet the person where they are, listen to what they're telling me, try and understand their pain, try and really understand what kind of trauma they might have endured that causes that pain, or what kind of confusions they're laboring under, and help them unravel that knot. Because I can't. I don't know the knot. Only they know it.
So would it be fair to say that each individual that comes to you, each client that comes to you, gets kind of like an individualized treatment plan based on the answers that they give and the things that they tell you?
Absolutely. I mean, I go in completely unknowing. I try and strip away as much as possible of any sort of preconceptions and just be a blank slate to let them paint who they are on. And then I respond to that, you know, obviously using all of my training. And, you know, it's like a major league batter. You know, you will go to batting practice, you work with a batting coach, he talks on your posture, he talks about where you hold your head, your shoulders, your head.
Right.
But when you get up to bat, you forget all about that.
You react.
So it's the same kind of thing. You have to forget everything you've learned and just react. Of course, you're influenced and informed by everything you've learned, but you're really listening to them. I don't want to impose my thoughts on who they are and what they feel.
Now,
so yes, everybody's individually.
Now, Lance, what's always intrigued me in the mental field and with social work in particular is what inspired you to go down this path and really, you know, dedicate your life to helping others?
It's probably an answer to a question to that question would probably take 3 or 4 segments of your show.
Right.
but it's something I've always done well, even before I was a professional. It was sort of my lot in life. When I was in college, my friends would come to me to ask to talk. When I was married, my wife's friends would come to talk to me. Even my children, their friends would ask if they could talk to their friend's dad. You know, can I talk to your dad? So even before I was trained, it was just what I did. And people saw that it was a good sounding board. And I just knew this was what I was good at. It resonated with other people. And it's just such a rewarding profession to know that you can change somebody's life, that people actually leave after a year or two or three or longer expressing that they are in a place they've never been before or forgot existed. Some people even say, you know, you've saved my life. So to do that, to be able to know that you can make that kind of impact in this world on an individual is extremely rewarding.
100%. I mean, I would put you guys right up there with police officers, firemen, and doctors. You know, I mean, I think people often forget that mental health is such a huge part of who we are. And I definitely don't think it's talked about enough in our society.
I think you're right. I think one of the reasons it's not talked about, and this is a constant battle, is the stigma. We still struggle with it being a shameful thing to go see a therapist, to have to be mentally ill. Any sort of allusions to that is scary. You know, if you have a great plumber, you might tell your friend. If you have a great mechanic, most people won't brag about their therapist. It's just something that you don't do. It's private.
Right.
So it's really kept, even if they don't see a shame, they won't talk about it. They or they say, I don't want my friends going to see the same person I do, as if I would ever divulge anything that happened in a therapy session with anybody else. It's completely confidential. But it's, you know, it people feel very funny about it, and the society does at large, and individuals by themselves as well.
Well, Lance, unfortunately, we have to end the show in about a minute, but I wanted to turn the floor over to you, and just why don't you tell us a little where we can find more information about you and your business. Do you have a website, a Facebook page?
I do. I have a website. I don't have a Facebook page, but my website is lancesternlcsw.com, and that'll give you a little overview, a short little biography. Just a couple of paragraphs on the few different demographics I work with. As I said, adults, emerging adults, parents, parenting couples, Certainly the phone number is there, and anybody is welcome. If you'd like to give me a call, I'll be more than happy to talk to anybody. Telephone number is 201-378-3205. If you don't get me, just leave a message, and I will call you back. But I'd be glad to talk to anybody about anything.
Well, Lance Stern of the Upper Saddle River, New Jersey area, providing those amazing people with just A-plus mental health. Thank you very much for joining us and giving us a little insight into your world.
Well, thank you for reaching out to me and giving me the opportunity to talk to you and to whoever's listening. I think you guys do a great service in this world of an onslaught of information to give a breath of fresh air of something interesting and salient and prescient to listen to.
Thank you very much, Lance. Been a pleasure, man.
This is Principal Broadcasting, the professional's choice.